You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams.
On this week's installation of Eurovision, I chat with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams from Berlin. It started by asking him for an update on the war in Ukraine.
Residents in Kiev awoke to more missile and drone strikes on Monday. Authorities have stated that water and power supplies have since mostly been restored after 80% of the city was previously without water. Ukrainian President Zelensky stated that up to 40% of the country's energy infrastructure has been destroyed due to Russian attacks, while also today thanking French President Emmanuel Macron for France's help in restoring the damaged energy infrastructure. Russia has pulled out of the grain deal, allowing safe passage of Ukrainian grain exports through the Black Sea. It expired yesterday, however, some ships have passed through. However, although from tomorrow, the UN and Ukraine have agreed there will be no more movement of ships. Putin blamed the deal's collapse after a Ukrainian drone attack on Russia's Black Sea fleet in Sevastopol, although Kiev denies responsibility for the attack. Fighting continues in the Kherson region, as well as heavy fighting outside the town of Bakhmut in central Ukraine.
And the EU has approved a ban for new fossil fuel cars by 2035. Can you tell me what's in the deal?
Yeah, last Thursday, the European Union announced a ban on new fossil fuel cars from 2035. After negotiations between the European Parliament, the European Commission and EU member states, a deal was struck, meaning that no new vans or cars with combustion engines will be sold within the EU by 2035. This comes as part of the EU's Fit for 55 goal, which is a target to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the bloc by 55% by 2030 when compared to 1990 levels. The bloc decided that there must be a 50 and 55% reduction of CO2 emissions for new vans and cars respectively by 2030, and by 2035 there will be a reduction of 100%. This effectively outlaws any new carbon-emitting cars. Cars make up 12% of the EU's emissions. Emergency and some other public utility vehicles aren't included in the deal. And there's also another opt-out for the so-called Ferrari clause. This means car makers producing less than 10,000 cars a year will not need to reach the 2030 target. However, they must abide by the zero emission at 2035 law.
And what's the reaction been to this ban?
Well, it's been pretty expected that some kind of regulation like this would be on the horizon. Some individual EU member states have already brought in their own phase-out laws, and some car manufacturers like Mercedes and Volvo have already signed a similar 2035 pledge after last year's COP26 summit. While welcomed by some green campaigners, Greenpeace have criticized the deal, saying it doesn't go far enough. Instead, they're calling for a ban on new cars by 2028 at the latest. The centre-right European People's Party have criticised the deal as well, warning of a Havana effect. They're stating that it would stifle new innovation and risk the bloc being full of older cars. Under the deal, existing fossil fuel-based cars will still be in use after 2035. It's now up to individual member states to pass the regulation into law once it's published, and a review by the European Commission is scheduled in 2026 to ensure that the progress is being made towards this 100% reduction target.
French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Olaf Scholz met last week for a special diplomatic lunch. Why were the two meeting?
There's been some frosty relations between EU giants France and Germany lately. Ultimately, spurred on from the effects of the war in Ukraine, there's been different opinions between the two on energy and defence. This led to an awkward last-minute delay of a routine meeting of French and German ministers to early next year, claiming that there was a delay because of school holiday scheduling conflicts. This lunchtime meeting was seen as a way to try to patch the rift. Macron is seen to be displeased that Germany seems to be going it alone without consulting them as an equal partner. Germany previously announced a €200 billion aid package to cover high energy prices this winter. However, Macron has concerns that this could distort the EU's single market and unfairly benefit German industry. The French are also annoyed at Germany sidelining their defence industry and initiatives. In June, Germany, along with some other European NATO allies, signed the European Sky Shield Initiative. This is an air defence system backed with American technology. France instead has its own air defence system in partnership with Italy. Germany has also decided to buy the American F-35 fighter jets, sidelining the French Rafale jet. And immediately following the invasion, Germany announced a €100 billion modernization package for the German military. There are German complaints as well. Germany is unhappy with the amount of military support France is giving to Ukraine. France is responsible for less than 2% of foreign arms deliveries to Ukraine, compared to Germany's 9%. Germany is also unhappy at France scuppering a potential gas pipeline through the Pyrenees. Germany had wanted the Midcat pipeline in place to transport gas from Spain to Germany to more immediately solve their energy issues. Instead, a proposed underwater pipeline linking Barcelona to Marseille, which would transport hydrogen, instead was agreed. However, this pipeline is still in the planning phase.
And what were the outcomes of the meeting? Was anything agreed?
Not really. The only big thing was an agreement to look into tackling America's state subsidy plans, with Macron saying in a TV interview later that night that, quote, we need a buy European act like the Americans, and we need to reserve our subsidies for European manufacturers. Apart from that, not much. Analysts are saying that this rift could potentially lead to a change in overall French geopolitical strategy. For decades, France has paired very closely with Germany, thinking that they were equals and could help share its own vision of European unity. With Germany taking a more proactive stance in Europe and abroad since the war, there's a risk Germany could surpass them. I think a more telling indicator of this relationship will be what happens during Olaf Scholz's upcoming trip to China this week. Olaf Scholz is due to meet Xi Jinping amid growing skepticism of China amongst Europe. Will he go it alone in growing its relationship with China, or will he go for a more pan-European approach?
Interesting. We'll follow up about how this trip goes next week. Lastly, on to Switzerland. I believe they're claiming the record for the world's longest passenger train.
Yeah, an Alpine trip from Preda to Bergen on Saturday claimed the longest passenger train. This is a 1.9-kilometre long train composing of 100 coaches, made the trip along a UNESCO World Heritage designated route. It was in celebration of Swiss Railway's 175th Jubilee. However, Raetian Railway's CEO, Dr. Renato Fasciardi, also clarified that it was more of a marketing event to boost passenger numbers post-COVID.
That was our European correspondent Cameron Adams chatting to me in this week's installation of Eurovision.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.